You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
The numbers of people addicted to drugs, the opioid crisis and the victims is catapulting out of control. So many folks are hurting. They just go in to get a little prescription and they end up getting hooked on something. And yet, what do we do about it? How can we introduce them to Jesus? How is their hope? How is their healing? What does the family do with their kid who's hooked on vaping or marijuana or other illegal substances that's taking them down fast? Well, there's a man of God in the studio who's doing something about it, and he's been introduced to us by another man of God named Tom Joyce, who I've known forever, grown up with, been a part of New Canaan Society. Tom Joyce, this is exciting, man. I mean, you left me a voicemail. You were pretty passionate about this. Tell everyone why you're so excited about Eric, and then let's introduce him.
Yes, I'm Tom Joyce, and I guess I got a type A personality, which matches Eric's. You'll find out in just a minute. He's a wide-open, high-spirited guy, kind of like I am. I'm here to represent, really, the New Canaan Society. Fairview Moravian Church is what I'm involved with. I've been a company owner here in Winston-Salem with Joyce Brothers Company, and I've known the Everson family a long time, too. And I met Eric through a luncheon thing that he was kind of like a speaker, and I saw that he was in the drug side of it, and he's doing some startup work that is difficult. It's difficult to start up what he's trying to do. It is a controversial situation, some areas of his endeavors, and he's getting some roadblocks here and there, but he doesn't let that stop him, so he's got high energy.
Yeah, Eric, you're going to bring some high energy to the radio, man. We're so excited you're on. But you are traveling around a lot. I mean, your life is crazy right now. Tell us a little bit about who is Eric. Get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, real quick, from Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area. Thank you, Stu and Tommy, both for having me here this morning. You know, I grew up down in Raleigh-Durham, and, you know, we were youngest of five. My dad was 51 when he had me. I was one of those oops kids. So
wow.
My dad went to NC State. My two older sisters went to NC State. My youngest sister went to Carolina. My brother went to a full-ride scholarship, UNC Wilmington baseball. I kind of went to the school of hard knocks. At the age 13, I started dabbling in marijuana and alcohol. And then that led me down a 26-plus year of drugs and alcohol. My first full year of recovery myself, and look to give back in any way that I can.
Good for you, man. What a testament. Well, thanks for your courage to come on the radio, and thanks for what you're doing with a 108 challenge. I mean, this is a big deal. You're getting a bunch of folks crowd together. Y'all are all packing into a church on a big night in May of 2019. Of course, we'll probably play this program and this podcast back, you know, as long as we can, as long as we still have Christian radio. But tell us a little bit about how your passion, what happened to you, and what God did to meet you, and how now you're parlaying that into helping others.
Yeah, sure. First, well, so, you know, a little bit over a year ago, I was working the tree business in Greenville, South Carolina. You know, it was kind of the only job I could get at this time. I'd done broke every bridge I've ever passed and put a frown on every face I've ever put a smile on, broke every heart, you know, broke begging and borrowing. The tree business was a prominent business of drugs and alcohol. It paid out every day, so I was able to support my habit. And I just became a walking, talking, functioning alcoholic and drug addict. And my particular drug of choice was cocaine and crack cocaine, but I sold heroin, I sold fentanyl, I sold anything that I could get my hands on to support my own habit. And this particular Thursday afternoon, I'll never forget it. You know, I'd taken and then I'd put some cocaine on a pipe and I'd smoked it, not realizing it was laced with fentanyl. It killed me dead, overdosed. I was laying there on the floor for about 15 minutes. Roommate walked in, had seen me there on the floor. They immediately called 911. That's when the law enforcement EMS showed up. They had to hit me with Narcan twice to revive me. Then I would go into the Greenville, South Carolina hospital. Well, I'd spend a few nights there, and I'd suffer a few mini strokes. And after release from the hospital, you know, that was kind of my rock bottom, you know, where I felt like I needed a major life change. So I went my way back to North Carolina in my mom's home at the time, and I was tossing around an old home run baseball. Now, I was a prominent baseball player coming out of Raleigh-Durham. I was throwing in the 80, 14 miles an hour. And so the only sign of any type of greatness in my life came from my teenage years.
Wow.
But anyways, I came in there, was tossing an old hormone ball around, and I had gotten 3 days clean. So I took a pen and I marked 3 stitches on a baseball. And I said, wow, you know, 3 stitches, 3 days clean. I couldn't remember the last time I had been clean and sober for 3 days in over 25 plus years.
No kidding. Okay, let me ask you this. What was the thing that triggered you? Was it a a bad friend or wrong place, wrong time that first introduced you into to these chemicals?
Yeah, so, you know, marijuana and alcohol, growing up as a teenager, you know, I always hung around the older crowd. And this thing doesn't negotiate. It doesn't have any race or color. You know, it's not something that I felt that was forced on me. It was my bad decisions. It was my bad choices. It was wanting to be with the in crowd. It seemed fun. It seemed like everybody was doing it. You know, so I was wanting to be with the in crowd, you know, and so as I started using, you know, one, I enjoyed it, you know, at the experimental stage. But then as I started getting more and more and more deeper into my drugs, they started to get a little more hardcore, a little more potency to them. It started spiraling out of a control and addiction I had no clue 25, about.
25, 26 years later, you're flatlined.
Yeah, so in and out of jail, arrested in possession, intent to sell, maintaining dwelling, trafficking crack cocaine in Davidson County, North Carolina. And then again, just in and out of jail for petty little things.
So God got a hold of you pretty radically.
Yeah, so when I lived my way back to North Carolina, you know, I had a couple people that when I got here, I had no really inspiration of wanting to change, but you know, had a few people said, look, I've been praying for you. And I don't know what it was about those words that just, I can't tell you about all these huge, the heavens open up and God coming down and touching me on the arm. All I can tell you is that we had somebody speaking to me, my life, saying that they had prayed for me and they had never given up on me. And so I thought it was one that just touched me in a major way. You know, I knew God as a young child, but not since my addictions. Right. And so, you know, from there, I recommitted my life back to Christ from a young man. And I started putting myself around prayer, people with a prayer life. And I started getting involved.
So you plugged into a church, and now you're doing the 108 Challenge. Tell us what that is. That's pretty amazing. You've got a whole brochure in here. We'll have to put one of these up at the radio network here.
Absolutely. So we are definitely wanting to, you know, all angles of this, from prevention, education, awareness, harm reduction. It's really just a recovery tool. It's for people that seek recovery one day at a time, because basically that's what it is. It's a new lifestyle. It's a mindset to not want to go back to those ways. So I use a baseball to mark one day at a time. The reason we call it the one day baseball has 108 double stitches on it. And so we mark it one day at a time. Okay. Why do we do the baseball? Well, life comes at you fast. It'll throw you some curves. And when you use drugs and alcohol, the bottom will definitely fall out. We can all relate to that all the way down to a five-year-old. So this is a great way to help work recovery one day at a time, but it's also a great way to provide prevention and education and awareness on the negative effects drugs and alcohol can have on the individual and the families.
That is tremendous. Well, thank you for doing this. Is there like a website or social media page that you want to tell everyone about to find out more about this, your testimony, and other events coming up?
Absolutely. So you can go to the108challenge at gmail.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. Those are both business pages.
Okay.
And then a direct hotline is 336-807-6744.
Okay, I'm going to follow you on Instagram right now.
Amen.
I got to get you on there. Are you on there with a personal page to yourself or just?
The Instagram is just posts that are relevant to addictions. We post a lot of more relevant stuff along with all of our events on our business Facebook page.
The 108 Challenge. Oh, man, it's coming right up. Yeah, Eric Burgess, good. You got some followers going on, man. I love it.
Yeah, those are all relevant. We've done this homemade. So we just launched this November 19th of 2018. So we're still in its infancy, so to speak.
Sometimes you're most afraid of doing the very thing that will set you free. You know, you've got some great quotes on here, pushing people to the Lord, things like that. 108 Challenge, get involved in this. And really, your challenge to a parent or family member out there that's struggling, trying to help someone come out of an opioid or some sort of drug addiction, what would you challenge them right now about that person in their life they care about? Their heart's broken for them. What would you say?
Well, there's a group out there now called PAL, P-A-L. It's called Apparent Loans. I think it's very important for you to get in a group of people. Peer support is huge. I feel like that get around other parents and other families that have kind of been there, done that, so to speak. That's a great nonprofit outreach. They meet weekly that you can share information with. Just educate yourself. If you're dealing with a teen or a youth or somebody in the house, make sure you're just doing the proper steps. Ask those questions. They have phones. You're probably paying the bill. Go through those phones. Ask those questions. Don't just get caught up in this fast-paced world and not have these talks about how drugs and alcohol can affect not only them, but the family and the loved ones.
A lot of kids are vaping now. What's the biggest challenge with vaping? What would you say?
Yeah, so that's huge because, you know, we aim towards our youth. We put it in funny little colors and neat little things, and they look all...
Right. We say it's not a cigarette. I mean, it can't be as bad. But what's the challenge? Isn't it like a gateway or something?
Yeah, well, you know, I think so. You know, we're finding out ways to also that the pods can be changed out so they can put liquid THC, which is marijuana and hash oil and different things in there. So sometimes they may not be just vaping. They might be actually smoking marijuana or drugs in these as well.
Good gracious. Thanks for what you're doing. And Eric, thanks for coming on National Radio Show and sharing your testimony.
Yes, sir.
With friends all over, like the Truth stations down in Jacksonville, Florida, and in Southern Georgia. You know, 91.3 FM, 91.7 FM, 91.9 FM in St. Augustine, and the Wilkins Radio Network. 40 stations broadcasting Truth Talk Weekend all over the country, sharing the good news of Jesus, which you're a part of now. Thank you. Pray for those folks. Tom, thank you for bringing this guy in.
Welcome.
What a blessing. Stay tuned. We'll make this a podcast as well, and follow these guys on Instagram, Facebook, and all these other places. And I just followed you now. Make sure you follow me back.
You got it, man.
We're building an army. Absolutely. We're going to reach folks for Jesus everywhere. And in this, we're going to play offense in this opioid crisis and share. We put our arms around some people. Tell them we love them. And it's time to come home.
Just to impact one. That's right.